Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
This week is yet another great chance to celebrate, as every remembrance is actually a good story for the cause of this, our first Disunited Holy Church of Wokeness Congregational. First, we want to celebrate the fast food restaurant chain Long John Silver's, who last week announced they're joining the growing chorus of woke allies in the food service industry by embarking on what can only be described as a brand-destroying image makeover that nobody asked for or understands. Following in the missteps of Cracker Barrel, who ultimately abandoned their disastrous logo chain and restaurant interior makeovers, and Chili's, who sadly and suddenly changed their signature tortilla chips and eliminated their fan-favorite skillet queso, Long John's has now dropped its golden fish icon, replacing it with a golden chicken, both on its restaurant exteriors and on its actual logo. In addition, the logo now contains the words chicken and seafood below the giant gold clucker. In a press release, LJS says that although they are widely known for their yummy battered deep-fried fish planks, the redesign is intended to highlight the chain's chicken planks, what they call their best-kept secret. Worried about potential misunderstandings, the release also reassured customers that this will not mean any change at all in the menu or the availability of their more well-known fish products. They simply want to raise awareness about the chicken. Well, we love this. Obviously, we are always on board with change for the sake of change, especially when it upsets long-established traditions, brands, or vocabulary. As the 14th Revised Doctrine of Wokeness reminds us, the single biggest barrier to realizing the Futuretopia is a population's habit of clinging to the past. Therefore, normalizing the eradication of traditions and separating people from attachments to long-standing practices is one of the four key tools of the revolution. Yes, changing the logo of a fast food restaurant may seem insignificant next to the power of the woke, but every little incremental bit helps. And of course, what could possibly be more refreshing to the people of the Holy Acronym String than a restaurant embracing transmenuism? If a restaurant once known for its fast fish now wants to identify as a place to get fast chicken, we're with you. Just tell us what deep-fried pronouns you want us to use, and we will affirm your new cuisine identity. Just because you were identified as fish at your founding does not mean you should be forever limited by such cis culinary restrictions. Become trans substance, Long John Silver's. We see you as the go-both-ways fried fish and fried chicken establishment you've always been, the ACDC of battered non-beef meat planks. This isn't some experiment in the novelty of cross-frying your food. It's who you really are, and we love it. So let your chicken-centric freak flag fly and tell all the world that even though you were named after a famous fictional pirate in Robert Louis Stevenson's classic work Treasure Island, there's no reason to think that in his later years, the one-legged, parrot-carrying pirate who ate fish his entire professional career didn't settle down on some deserted island to enjoy his booty and raise chickens. So here's to you, Long John Silver's, for reminding us that it's never too late to ruin a brand, and that if a scurvy pirate can embrace a life of agrarian fowl farming in his retirement, surely we can all become something new in our own lives. Keep walking those fish and chicken planks out to us and keep giving us those free crumbles of delicious fried batter. We're with you and your new identity. Bagawk! Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Amazon Prime Video, our dearly beloved ally in the culture wars, for this week's decision to sanitize their entire line of James Bond movie thumbnails by digitally editing out the pistol so frequently brandished by whichever star is portraying Ian Fleming's famous British spy. Whether it's Sean Connery and Dr. No, no longer menacingly cradling the traditional Walther PPK in his arms folded pose, or Pierce Brosnan holding neither gun nor silencer in his hand by his shoulder for GoldenEye, or giving Roger Moore clownishly long arms to remove the .44 Magnum from the frame of the View to a Kill photo, or simply having Daniel Craig's hand cut off so you cannot see the pistol he's carrying in the shot from Spectre. Your digital revisionists have nearly outdone themselves this time. Boldly stepping down the path first taken by the history changers of the Star Wars remaster when they transferred the cantina encounter between Han Solo and Greedo to make Han act in self-defense rather than the original Han-fired first act of alien murder, This effort to reshape our images in a way that is gradually freed from the tyranny of violence is very well intended. There's nothing but pride from us in looking at these former posters of gun-toting spies who now look like slightly too old for the part models from an Abercrombie & Fitch catalog. Now, yes, we did notice that some fans of the franchise complained about the edits, and after the massive cultural pushback, Amazon abandoned the newly corrected stills and replaced them with other pictures from the movies, thankfully also ones that are free from the evil fire stick that frightens us by day and haunts our dreams by night. So well done for sticking to your non-guns. But we do note how much more work needs to still be done. Certainly it's a good first step to remove the gun from these photos, thus protecting impressionable young children who have surely never seen violence of any kind prior to seeing these pictures on your service, but why stop there? Wouldn't it be better to revise the entire opening sequences to all the James Bond movies, changing the highly gun-saturated imagery with something safer, such as perhaps floating images of paperback books, or recycling tote bags, or if the sequence allows it, the open hands of friendship? And of course, we realize that the James Bond movies themselves involve many, many, many scenes with shooting and death and all sorts of non-traditional weaponry designed by that devilish fiend Q. But each and every one of these could certainly be edited out so that the entire series of movies can finally be safe for gun-fearing populations like the one we're trying to cultivate. Instead of using his Walther death iron, perhaps 007 can find clever ways to use active listening to disable his opponents. Maybe instead of resorting to violence, force, like the premier example of toxic masculinity he's always been, a newly woke Bond can bring the elements of Spectre to heel with sound reasoning and an offer to engage in some therapeutic finger painting or macrame. We can certainly wonder whether a solid dose of group therapy might not gently coax a Bond nemesis back to the light side of the force. Who can say whether Dr. No or Ernst Blofeld or Le Chiffre or Auric Goldfinger weren't merely misunderstood geniuses simply acting out of their childhood abandonment and neglect issues and might not simply be gently cajoled into using their evil genius abilities for the greater good instead of for personal greed and glory? All it might have taken was a little shaken, not stirred tenderness rather than gunplay to accomplish the mission of reconciliation, the cause of truth, justice, and the UK way. So way to go, Amazon Prime Video. You really did a service to the movie streaming universe with your ideological sanitization efforts. We applaud you for noting the internet immorality of giving a person a license to kill and reducing their identity to a number in the process. And we hereby validate your unrestricted license to edit. Truly the work of woke is never done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our most sincere honor, the high exalted tambourine of virtue with four triple braided rainbow hemp tassels this week goes to none other than our favorite citizen surveilling search tool, Google. As all of you know, we are in an existential war to save our planet from ourselves as our carbon belching species is literally breathing itself to death with dangerous greenhouse gases. Of course, one of the most foul contributors to this problem is the unholy methane gas that comes from animal waste and sewage sludge. Yes, cow, pig, horse, chicken, and human excrement are some of the most dangerous substances on Earth, boiling our dear mother Gaia alive incrementally like the proverbial frog in the kettle. But now Google is joining an initiative to solve the problem. They're burying the poop! Google just inked a deal with innovative Kansas-based startup Vaulted Deep to inject 50,000 tons of animal excrement 1,000 feet below the surface of the Earth, neatly sequestering its carbon poisoning potential away from the actual atmosphere, safely thwarting the methane-emitting gas from killing us all. By securing the manure deep underground where it cannot pollute the water supply or outgas methane to ruin the climate, Vaulted Deep is allowing Google to expiate all of its most serious carbon sins incurred by the massive energy use at its server farms, artificial intelligence networks, and electric scooter charging stations. Google is now following in the carbon-free footprints of Microsoft, which also purchased a large tranche of these carbon indulgences earlier this year. All we can say is wow. Just wow. We're so impressed with the level of devotion to our planet shown by these massive energy hogs. At this point, our only suggestions have to do with branding, since names matter so dearly. Our bellies runneth over with suggestions for the names of this flatulence-flummoxing facility. Should it be called the Deep Earth Excrement Retention Complex, or DERC for short? A bit technical, but clear. Perhaps the Cow Paddy Underground Depository, or CPUD. The manure mine occurred to us, but that implies we're extracting rather than injecting. In the end, we think the best name is the simplest. The Dookie Dome. Simple, to the point, geometrically elegant. Of course, we think that most of the other elements of the process deserve appropriate names as well, so the waste can be transported from the farm to the lift station by means of the Pucky Buggy, and then dropped down the Poot Chute, to its final resting place in the Dookie Dome. We did consider going with Crapshoot, but we thought the homophone would be too confusing. So we stand here in pleasantly impressed awe at the thorough efforts to save us all from the dungpocalypse. As our familiar chant reminds us, two cows enter, methane never leaves. Two cows enter, methane never leaves. So good for you, Google. We salute you and your Dookie Dome. Why? Because as the high priest of wokeness himself, Larry Downes Jr., reminds us, fecal matters. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.